Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the last Sunday of the church year. We rightly focus on the end times and the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are in the end times right now. Jesus Christ could come on any day and at any moment. And when he does, the Bible tells us that after that, the great judgment will take place, Judgment Day. The Lord will judge between the sheep and the goats, the living and the dead, those who believe and those who don't believe in Jesus Christ. That event, the judgment, is described many places in the Bible. It's described today in our gospel lesson, the words of Jesus from the book of Mark. It's in Revelation, of course, and it's in the Old Testament as well, in the book of Daniel. As books of the Bible, Daniel and Revelation, I think, are cousins. Daniel is the revelation of the Old Testament, or maybe more accurately, since Daniel came first, Revelation is the Daniel of the New Testament. They are books that focus on the end times and books that have incredible and amazing symbols and imagery, which are not easy to understand. They both paint a vivid and powerful picture of the return of Jesus and of Judgment Day. Today, let's take a closer look at Daniel's, particularly Daniel chapter 7, our Old Testament lesson, where it pictures the Judgment Day, the judgment between the believers and non-believers. And we see that there are two main persons involved. One is named the Ancient of Days by Daniel, and the other is named as the Son of Man. Let's look at those two different persons. Number one, first Daniel talks about the Ancient of Days. That is, of course, God the Father, the Ancient of Days, the first person of the Trinity. He is in heaven, sitting on his throne, surrounded by the hosts of heaven. Remember, 10,000 times 10,000 angels, 100 million angels, more than anyone could count. Remember all the different angels we learned about a few months ago? The Archangel Michael, angels, thrones, powers, dominions, seraphim, cherubim, all the different ranks of angels. Let me share with you three attributes of God the Father we see here in Daniel 7. First of all, God the Father is eternal. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, Daniel 7, verse 9. First, Daniel points out to us that God the Father is eternal. He is the Ancient of Days. In Isaiah 43, 13, God calls himself the one who was there before days even started. Before creation, before space, before time, God is. He is the great I am. He was, he is, he always will be. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God existed before the universe existed. God will be there long after this universe comes to an end. He is the Lord of time, the potentate of time, the creator of time itself. We experience time 1 second at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time. We go through it consecutively. We are in time. But God is outside of time. There is never a time that God the Father did not exist. He is all he is, and he always will be. He is before time. He is the Ancient of Days. Second of all, Daniel tells us that God is present everywhere. That means omnipresent, right? His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. Daniel 7, verse 9. God's throne is amazingly impressive, full of fire and glory. But one thing that people wonder about are the wheels. Why does God's throne have wheels? Well, wheels, of course, they symbolize mobility, right? If you want something to move, you put wheels on it. That means God can go anywhere and God can be anywhere. He's not stuck in some far-off throne in some far-off palace, far away from humanity. No, God is anywhere he needs to be. His throne is not stationary. It is his chariot. He goes everywhere. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere all at once. As Psalm 139 tells us, there is nowhere we can go to get away from God. He will be with us wherever we go. Psalm 139 verses 7 and 8 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I go to the top of Mount Everest, God is there. If I go to the deepest part of the earth in the Mariana Trench under the Pacific Ocean, God is there. There is no place I can go to get away from the Lord. God is eternal, he is omnipresent, and he is omnipotent, all-powerful. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him, Daniel 7, verse 10. God the Father is omnipresent, he is omnipotent, all-powerful. There are two main themes that come out in this description Daniel gives us of God the Father. First of all, there's a lot of the color white, right? He has white clothes on, his hair is like wool. That indicates God's purity and his holiness. He is completely pure, holy, and righteous. God the Father is untainted by sin. There's a lot of white, and there's a lot of fire. His throne is burning with flame. The wheels of his throne are also flaming.
A stream of fire
radiates out from him. The white represents God's holiness. The fire represents God's power. God is both holy and powerful. God is all powerful. Our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there is nothing our God cannot do, right? God is omnipotent. Now, for sinners like us, all of this is not necessarily good news. God is holy, perfect, and righteous. We are not. We are sinners who have broken every one of God's laws. God is everywhere. He sees every bad thing we have done, every sin we've ever committed in thoughts, words, or deeds. And God is powerful. He can certainly punish sinners like us. And there's no place where we can go to get away from him. Notice in this vision, everything is set up like a courtroom, right? It's the court of judgment, the judgment of all humankind. And the books were open.
Now that could be big trouble for us.
What sort of judgment will God the Father, the Ancient of Days, pronounce upon sinners like you and me?
But this is why it's such
good news that the Son of Man appears in this vision as well. Who is the Son of Man who comes before the Ancient of Days in clouds and glory? Well, it is, of course, God the Son, who we know as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who comes to stand in defense of sinners like you and me, the one who comes to stand in the place of sinners like you and me.
Now, Daniel tells us
three things about God the Son, Jesus, the Son of Man. Number one, he's 100% man. With the clouds of heaven came one like a son of man, Daniel 7:13. That's what that name means, right? Son of Adam. He's the son of Mary, a human descendant of Judah, a human descendant of Abraham, a human descendant of Adam and Eve. In order to save the human race from sin and death, God the Son became a human being. Some of us call that event the incarnation. Most of us call it Christmas. At Christmas, God became man. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. You see, at just the right time, God sent his one and only son, born of a virgin, born under the law, to save those under the law. Why did the Son of God become a human being? Why did the Son of God have to be 100% man? So that he could take our place, living a perfect life that none of us could ever live, perfectly obeying God's law, doing everything in complete obedience to God his Father, something you and I could never do. And then, he also had to be 100% man so he could take the punishment for sin in our place. The wages of sin is death. God can't die, but a human can. The Son of God was born of the Virgin Mary, but then he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. All according to what the scriptures had said. All so that he might take the full punishment of our sins upon himself. Jesus Christ had to be 100% human so he could pay the price for sins. The wages of sin is death. But at the same time, Jesus also had to be, at the exact same time, 100% God. And that's how Daniel describes him. To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples should serve him. He is, as we sing in Beautiful Savior, Son of God and Son of Man. Not one or the other, but both and. Notice what Daniel says, the Son of Man was given dominion and glory in a kingdom that all peoples should serve him. That word for serve can also be translated as worship. The idea is that people would serve and worship the Son of Man the same way they serve and worship God the Father. And that God the Father would hand over to the Son of Man all dominion, power, and glory. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to the Son. Everything that is an attribute of the Father is an attribute of the Son.
The Son is omnipotent.
Just as the Father is omnipotent. The Son is worshipped just as the Father is worshipped. The Son rules over all just as the Father rules over all.
And just as
God the Father is eternal, omnipotent and omnipresent, so the Son of Man, the Son of God, is eternal, omnipotent, and omnipresent.
It was necessary
that our Savior be 100% man, 100% God, 100% man so that he could take our place and die on the cross.
And to be 100%
God so that he might conquer death itself and save us from sin and death now and forever. Now that he has paid for our sins and defeated sin, death, and hell, we have nothing to fear on Judgment Day.
The only
book that the Lord will read on when it comes to us on the Day of Judgment is the Book of Life, and he will see our names clearly written by the blood of Jesus Christ.
All of our sins
have been fully and freely forgiven by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Notice, the Ancient of Days was dressed in white robes. What do you see that great multitude in Revelation dressed in? White robes, because their sins have been forgiven. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And now, instead of eternal judgment, we are instead promised by Jesus to be part of his eternal kingdom. See, that's what Daniel talks about. He talks about the fact that the Son of Man is 100% man, 100% God, and that he will rule an eternal kingdom. His kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7, verse 14. Notice, Jesus is a king, but he doesn't just rule an earthly kingdom. He rules an eternal kingdom, and that is really good news for us. Jesus has redeemed us from sin and death, not so we can just die again a few decades later, but so that we can be part of his kingdom.
Right. It's not a kingdom that
lasts a few decades or a few centuries like earthly kingdoms. It's a kingdom that lasts forever and ever. It is an eternal kingdom, and it is our true home, the place where we will be with our best friend Jesus forever and ever. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, is not a king. He is the King. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day, when Jesus Christ returns, every knee will bow down, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God, the Ancient of Days, and of his Christ, the Son of Man. And he shall reign forever and ever. Alleluia.
Amen. And the peace of God,
which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts, minds, in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.